Hello, and what is up? Welcome back to our little podcast here at Fandango, a weekly podcast. My name is Eric Davis, and joining me, as always, is Sean O'Connell. You can find us writing little tidbits about everything that's important in movies over at the movie blog over at Fandango. If you go to the top of the screen, you'll see a little section for movie blog. Click on there. Come hang out with us. We do a lot of fun things in there, and after you buy your movie tickets, you're going to want to come hang out with us. Trust me. And I'm hanging out with Sean today. And Sean, it is the official start of the summer movie season. This is when our jobs get really fun and exciting and overwhelming. And today, we're going to talk about Iron Man 3. It opens up this weekend. We both saw it. And I think specifically, we're going to talk about a couple of things. There's going to be a spoiler-free chat, first of all. I will say that. And we want to talk about whether or not Iron Man 3 is better than The Avengers, which came out last year. And also, just kind of a roundabout on how Iron Man 3 is, how it stands up against the other Marvel movies, and whether or not it's worth seeing if you're a fan of these kinds of movies. So let's go and let's start out with Iron Man 3. And I just want to preface this by saying I made Sean not tell me what he thought of Iron Man 3 before we recorded, so this way we can kind of come into this conversation fresh. I have no idea what he thinks of the movie. So let's go. Sean, is Iron Man 3 better than The Avengers?
No, and it's not even close. Wow. I think people who even try and get into that conversation are crazy. I mean, I guess that's going a little bit too much, because clearly if you love Iron Man 3, you know, then you can believe that. I just don't think that – I think it's unfair, and unfortunately everyone's going to have that conversation. I just finished writing my review for it, and my whole intro is really like, boy, Marvel just painted themselves into a corner with Phase 2 because the Avengers, you know, raised the bar, in my opinion, so high that – you automatically have to put yourself in a position where you're stepping back and realizing up front that these next phase of standalone films can't compare to that. There's just nothing that, in my opinion, can compare to seeing the Hulk and Thor and Captain America together on screen. So when you get to a situation where Tony Stark now has to team up with a little kid in Tennessee, you know, and Pepper Potts, that to me is an extreme step down. Now, does that mean that it doesn't work as a standalone film? No, it's fine. I mean, it's a good movie. I just consider The Avengers, in terms of the superhero genre, a great and groundbreaking movie. And so, no, I don't think it comes close.
It's interesting. I remember saying this, and I think they're a lot closer than maybe you're putting them. I feel like the end of The Avengers kind of clouds the fact that the rest of the film is just okay, because there are a lot of little subplots in The Avengers that are just okay, you know, but the end of it is like wham bam thank you ma'am, every comic book nerd's dream come true is the end of that film. The rest of it is all right, but I feel like all of Iron Man 3 as a whole is exciting, is different. There is a clear, distinct vision that we're seeing. They bring the fun from the Avengers into Iron Man 3 as well. I kind of think it's the most enjoyable Iron Man movie, and I want to kind of throw that question to you. So, okay, if the Avengers cannot be compared to Iron Man 3 just because the Avengers has all of them in there, if you can't invest in Tony Stark by himself, you can invest in Bruce Banner or, you know, Scarlett Johansson, or, you know, whatever. You can invest in any of the other characters because there are a lot of main characters to invest in. Is this then the best Iron Man movie?
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's better than 2.
I mean, that's a given. It's better than 2.
That's a given. And I don't hate 2 as much as everybody hated 2. I thought it was okay. I think it's – and again, we're going to dance around this as much as we can without spoiling too much.
That's why I think I'm asking you these general questions, because if we just have a conversation about Iron Man 3, we're going to get 3 minutes in and we're going to be at a roadblock, because there one thing, and I'll say this, one thing I love about this film that maybe isn't as present in some of these other Marvel movies is that it really is a twisty and turny mystery.
It is.
And like, you know, Shane Black comes from a background where he really likes these hard-boiled detective stories, and you know, that feeling is in there, that kind of mix of hard-boiled detective with a twist of a little bit of noir, mixed with the buddy cop sort of. I mean, I made a joke that I don't think there's a Shane Black movie that Shane Black does not pay homage to in Iron Man 3. They're all in there.
And I agree with that to a certain extent, but if you had just shown me this movie and I didn't know Shane Black directed it, it has a feel to me of anyone could have directed this. And I don't know if it's just that whoever plugs in now has the full, you know, toolbox of Marvel and what Marvel has been able to do up to this point. Clearly, the action sequences are fantastic. There's three or four great sequences, you know, eye-popping sequences,
big time,
that have been teased, you know, in the trailers, and they're really good Iron Man sequences. They're really good superhero sequences. It's worth seeing for those sequences alone. I thought the screenplay needed more of Shane Black's humor. I thought it was going to have, and maybe I just hoped for more, you know, that rapid fire banter, that really dry sarcasm that Downey does so well. I was looking for a little bit more of that, and I didn't think that I got enough of it, or enough to at least distinguish it as, oh yeah, Shane Black's fingerprints were all over this picture.
I think it's a little bit of a more restrained Shane Black, just because he's coming into the third film of a franchise, which is sort of supposed to tie up some loose ends and act as a bookend for the trilogy. And so, you know, right off the back, he's walking in with his hands behind his back because he's got to adhere to a lot of things that are already in place. And so I feel like with that, he instead kind of, you know, goes back into his past and pulls out a lot of the things that people love him for, and injects them into the movie. And so there is that sort of nostalgic factor when you're watching this film, especially for guys like you and I who grew up in the late 80s, early 90s with Lethal Weapon, The Last Boy Scout, The Last Action Hero. These were some of like our favorite action movies growing up. And so seeing elements of those in Iron Man 3 are exciting to guys like us. But I agree that if someone who isn't familiar with those movies or Shane Black comes into this film, they may not sort of – they're not going to come in and feel those sorts of emotions that maybe we do.
Let me ask you a question about this. Did you feel that there was too much story going on?
You know, I like – there is a lot of story going on, but – I like that because it allows for more twists, for more turns, for more reveals, for more setups, for more payoffs. You know, the villain in this film is complicated, is interesting, and sort of you're either with it or you're not with it. And I like that. And I think Marvel takes the biggest risk that they've ever taken on the big screen with the villain in this movie, villains, maybe we should say. And I like that, and I respect that. And was I completely sold on it? I think 85% of me was.
Okay.
But I think I respect them for making those bold choices, and I liked it. I did like it, and like you said, the action sequences are this film. My biggest problem with Iron Man 2 was like I feel like the movie peaked on the racetrack. I feel like that was the film's best action sequence was that scene.
That.
And this film instead builds, you know, they kind of will show you a big wham bam action sequence and then they'll give you two more. And one thing that I really liked about this film is that Tony Stark loses a lot. Iron Man loses a lot.
Right.
And I appreciate that. I like movies that where the hero doesn't win. For a lot of it, you know, and that was fun to watch for me. to watch him. And they put him in different positions. Some action sequences, he's in a suit. Some he's out of a suit. Some he's out of a suit, but half of him is kind of a suit. There's just a lot of interesting creative action sequences in this film, and that's what I really loved about it.
I was surprised, and I don't know, it's so hard to do this without spoilers. I was surprised at how often he was sort of remote controlling suits. Mm-hmm. And I won't say when and where, but I think people listening to this who go see Iron Man 3 might be a little bit surprised at how detached Stark can be from the armor now. There's a big subplot going on about, you know, a friend of mine and I were joking after the screening last night that this one should be subtitled like everyone gets a suit, because almost every major character gets to wear the armor. I mean, even some like supporting characters, Bill Sadler is the president. I think at one point he gets to wear the armor,
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that this is, you know, I think a lot of people are going into this just saying it's just the next Iron Man movie. But
right.
Go into this. This is the third movie of a trilogy. This is a trilogy. And when this film ends, it feels like they're ending a trilogy. And so I think a lot of this film is about Tony Stark detaching himself literally and figuratively from this armor, from this character. And so I think, yeah, it may take a step back because he is detached from the armor a lot in this movie. He loses the armor and he has to kind of act as a guy, as a regular
right.
dude with all of this knowledge that he has. And he kind of, you know, he MacGyvers a lot in this film, which is fun.
I liked that. Yeah, that was cool.
It's fun. And that's, I think, getting back to the original Iron Man where he's kind of MacGyvering things a bit. And that's what's fun about this character and watching him sort of figure this stuff out. But yeah, you know, for the kids that kind of want to see him in the suit, this is a different movie, you know.
There's not a lot of Iron Man. Let's say that, you know, there's a lot of Tony Stark,
yes.
But there's not a ton of Iron Man.
No, there's not.
And I want to point out, I do want to say it's much better than any part three probably deserves to be or has been in franchises that we've seen so far. I don't think that it fell into the problems that we've seen in other franchises where they pile on too many new characters and too many subplots that don't get resolved. I think it goes to great lengths to resolve and bring closure to almost all of the storylines that it brings up. Part of my problem, and I think we have to save this for the more in-depth spoiler conversation, is that I was unsatisfied with some of the resolutions that they came up with, especially in terms of some of the villains that they've introduced, some major Marvel villains that I felt just got shortchanged. But it's such an unprecedented situation that, yes, it's the next Iron Man film. And if it were just coming after part two, I think I would view it in a light where I was like, oh my gosh, that's such an improvement over the last Iron Man film. I just keep coming back to the fact that being the next Marvel movie to follow the Avengers, and you're right. I mean, the Avengers is primarily it's because of that last 30 minutes or so that was so spectacular. But I mean, there are great scenes sprinkled throughout the earlier parts too. But having to follow up on the Avengers and seeing all those great characters together to now just sort of hang it on, you know, one of those heroes, I thought was it's a tough act to follow. I did like that the screenplay does not try to pretend that the Avengers doesn't happen. A big part of this story is Tony dealing with panic attacks and him coming to grips with what he saw in Manhattan and the fact that there are like aliens attacking our planet and could they come back and are we clearly we're not alone out there, and there are these big issues that psychologically he has to tackle. And I think that was a really bold step for Marvel to say there's continuity here and these heroes physically, yes, they can rise to the challenge, but it does affect them mentally, and I don't think we've seen that addressed before in a superhero film. So yeah, I mean, the movie does take a lot of chances and it does take a lot of gambles. I'm having a really hard time voicing my concerns with a couple of things in it without spoiling it, and I don't want to spoil it for you. I want people to go into it and sort of recognize all this stuff on their own for sure. And I don't want to make it sound like I didn't like it, because I did like it. I just
It'll be interesting. You know, it'll be interesting conversation to have is comparing it to The Dark Knight Rises in a lot of ways, because they are very similar films. They revolve around their very personal stories for the hero. For a lot of the movie, the hero is out of his suit and sort of back to basics and having to kind of get in touch with why he became this character and this hero in the first place. And he's fighting a villain that has some ties to his past and kind of, you know, is angry about those ties in some way. So it very much is like The Dark Knight Rises, except and I'm curious to see what Warner Brothers does after Man of Steel and how they kind of launch it, because I feel like Disney is being very clear about that they want their movies to be a lot of fun and a lot of laughs and with action. And the DC movies may be a little bit more serious and a little bit more grounded in the real world and the now. So I'm curious to see how both of those paths pan out. And I think, if anything, it'll give us variety on the big screen, which is always good. But I'm curious to see how those films sit with fans. Because The Avengers was a lot of fun, and Iron Man 3 continues that sort of vibe that we had in the Avengers that may have not really been in the other Phase 1 movies, because they were sort of trying to find their vibe. You know, Iron Man was a little bit more serious, and The Incredible Hulk, and they were kind of trying to find that vibe that I think they really hit with The Avengers and now Iron Man 3. And I expect the movie – I'm curious to see Thor. I want to see how that film kind of handles the elevated humor – quote-unquote fun aspect of these Marvel movies that the Avengers introduced. I do think that, yes, it's hard to follow the Avengers, but I think Iron Man 3 does as good of a job as you can probably do following the Avengers. I agree, and I think I know what your points against it are going to be, some of those resolutions. I agree with that. I agree, and I'm reading your mind here. with some of those resolutions, possibly with them maybe taking some more risks with those resolutions.
So do you think, though, you think it's one of the better or if not best sort of standalone stories in terms of like the Thor origin, the Cap origin? Would you put it above those?
I'm a big fan of the first Captain America movie. The only Captain America movie right now. I'm a big fan of that. Thor, not so much. Captain America, I'm a big fan of that movie. I would say that in terms of standalone Marvel movies that we've seen so far, if I was going to rank my top three, and I'm not exactly sure which order they're in, I would say Iron Man 1, Iron Man 3, and Captain America.
Yeah, I'm with that. And I love Cap as much as you do. I think that's a great film. And it's only gotten better the more I've gone back to watch it. And so I'd put that pretty high. I liked the story in the first Iron Man more than I liked this story. I like the action in this one more than I like the action in the first Iron Man. You know, there's only one or two sequences you can point out in Favreau's first Iron Man that are noteworthy. And the way that he shot them, it's shot in the dark. It's, you know, Marvel's just figured out how to do it better, you know, with each. And I think each of these progressive standalone films, the action is always going to be really eye popping because Marvel now has the budget to pour into those special effects. They've got the, you know, the veteran digital effects artists who have now been working on these films for, you know, multiple installments. And so you're going to be blown away by Iron Man's visual effects. It's just a matter of now bringing the stories up to speed with all the visuals.
Exactly. And we'll see. And we'll revisit this next week. I definitely want to have a conversation with you, or at least a part of a conversation, part of our podcast next week. Maybe we'll dedicate to talking about some of a spoiler heavy review of Iron Man 3, maybe separate to our podcast. We'll see. And we'll go from there and see how it goes. Because there's definitely a lot to talk about. But I would say that if you are a fan of these Marvel movies, if you're a fan of the Avengers, if you're a fan of what they're doing, this Iron Man 3 is worth your ticket. I think it's definitely worth your time at the movies. It's a great way to kick off the summer. It's a fun movie. It's a summer movie, even though it's set at Christmas. It's still a summer movie.
Like all Shane Black movies.
Like all Shane Black movies, it's set at Christmas. I'm curious to know how this film would have – you know, it's interesting. Would this film have sat with us in a different way if it came out in December and we were all in Christmas mode. I don't think so, because I feel like the Christmas in this movie, it's not really a character in this movie.
No, yeah.
It's,
that,
dressing.
I totally,
it's window dressing.
Yeah, it definitely is window dressing. I don't think that it's important to the story necessarily. No. I'm curious, too, on your thoughts, if you wanted to say really quickly, I brought my 9-year-old son. It might have been a little bit too violent for him. And I don't know how much of the plot he followed. Would you bring your kids, or what do you think about bringing kids?
I think if you're bringing kids to this movie, be prepared to have conversations about terrorism.
Yes.
And sort of some of what we're facing today. I think, you know, kids are in school, they're hearing about the Boston bombing. And if they're really afraid of that, if they're getting scared by school shootings or terrorism in any kind of way, then this film is about terrorism. So
yeah, the Mandarin is a big component of this movie and his attacks on the country. And with these, he has these televised messages that he sends to the American community, and he's targeting the president, but some of them can be a little bit vicious. You know, there's a lot of superhero action in it too, and I don't think that fazed my son as much as the more realistic and sort of contemporary, you know, scenes of terrorism that Iron Man. And I mean, that they belong in the film. They definitely should be there. I just think parents should be aware of that.
Yeah, that would be my one note to parents. I think the action sequences in this film are on par with the Avengers, you know, and the other Marvel movies. If you've shown your child the other Marvel movies, and especially Captain America, deals with a Nazi villain. So if your child has seen Captain America and you've maybe had a conversation with them about who the Nazis were and what they did, right, then yeah, you know, but this is, you know, the Avengers is a little bit easier to play off because it's just aliens attacking, you know, but this one is believable. This one deals with a terrorist that looks very much like Osama bin Laden, and you prepare to have, especially right after, not too long after the Boston bombings, your child, you know, if that's something that your child is afraid of or scared of, that's a very big part of this movie, and to keep that in mind. But if your child is cool and okay, and they know who the Nazis are, they understood the Captain America plot, they were able to separate fact from fiction, and if you feel like your child can do that again with here, then by all means, have at it.
Yeah. Great. So next week we have the Great Gatsby opening, but I think we're going to keep our podcast still pretty focused on Iron Man because it's going to be what everyone's talking about once everyone goes to see it this weekend. I think you should go see it in 3D. I think you should probably see it in the IMAX. The action sequences definitely warrant that. This is already a big hit for Marvel. It's opened overseas. It's collected over $200 million. You know, we can get into next week the conversation of will there be an Iron Man 4 and who might be back for it.
Exactly.
Because I think that will be a really interesting conversation, but that should be reserved until all of you have seen it. And so we'll save that till next week.
So Sean, that's Sean's piece. I say you don't have to see it in 3D. You don't have to see it in IMAX. I thought the 3D was a little bit dark.
Nice.
But enjoy the film however you want to see it. It's a fun movie. So we'll leave it at that. Sean, thank you very much. Come back here next week. Join us because we're going to really nerd out on some of these things. And you'll have fun. And we'll have fun, hopefully. Enjoy your weekend at the movies, everyone. And definitely comment below and let us know what you thought about this podcast, what you thought about Iron Man 3 after you see it. And maybe we can work some of your comments and some of your notes into what our conversation is next week. Take care, everyone, and have a good weekend at the movies.